Welcome to Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each week. This show is produced by my dynamic duo of student interns in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School. I'm Mr. Bryce Johnson. Our interns are Jasmine Rivera and Myra Canseco. Thank you, ladies, for everything that you do each and every week. And today on the show, I am very pleased to welcome the president of the Palm Springs Unified Board of Education, Tim Wood. Welcome back, Tim. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. It's great to be with you. And this is your third year on the board, correct?
It is.
And you became the president this past December.
Correct.
Congratulations on that. And for those who are on, well, you know, I should say, I have to say this, that if people are unfamiliar with you locally, they probably got to know you nationally recently. It was so cool. I didn't know, you know, you're a pretty humble guy, so didn't know about this ahead of time, but somebody, and it's funny because I did record the show live with Kelly and Ryan. I did record the show because I knew it was going to be a Palm Springs theme because it was advertised on KSQ, you know, as it being a Palm Springs show. But I had no idea that one of the segments would feature you and your husband, Jim, and about the work that you do with feeding people in the community. And so it was such a nice surprise.
Thank you. Yeah, it came about really quickly. So there wasn't a lot of time to say anything anyway. And the name of the show is Live. So
yeah. Well, I would venture a guess that it actually, they were live and you were recorded, but I know that they tried to be really timely with that stuff. And, you know, in the virtual world we've all been living in for the past year, that whole deal with their virtual, they were doing virtual road trips, you know, kind of all over the place on the show, which is really cool because they're able to spotlight different places in the country that people might want to come visit, you know, once they're able to. So it was a cool show. And I think that was the best part about it, was seeing that feature it from your backyard. It was great.
You. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, what I loved about it was that you're right that they did try to feature places that people would want to go if, you know, if and when the pandemic lifts and it's safe to do so again. And I think that it was great that they also try to do a little bit of fun, a little bit of, you know, like places to visit here, and also tried to do that, what we participated in, which was their good news story of the day, where they try to look for things that are, you know, just make you feel good about the places that you want to go visit and things like that. And I think they did a really great job.
Well, so it just for the, you know, few people who may be listening who either don't know you and Jim locally or now nationally, tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been here and what do you do for a living?
Yeah. So let's see, the background part, Jim is Canadian, and when he and I met, he was flipping homes here. He's one of the snowbirds who would come down and, you know, buy places and fix them up and sell them and that kind of stuff. And I grew up in Southern California. My parents had a place here when I was a kid, so we used to come here quite a bit. I bought my first house here in the 90s, and I've always sort of called it my happy place. After we met, we decided that this was both of our happy place, And so in 2012, we moved here full time.
That's so cool. Yeah. And what do you do now?
So I spent almost my entire career in insurance and in executive level positions. I traveled quite a bit, always on an airplane, that kind of stuff. I was a chief sales officer for an insurance company, that kind of thing. And we opened a local insurance agency here back in 2016.
Very cool.
Yeah,
It actually,
right here in Cathedral City.
not that you asked for a free ad, but you guys were at the State Farm office that you own. You were voted best in the valley in the insurance industry, and I think that that's great.
Thank you.
Very, very, very cool. And you, what made you decide to run for the school board?
So it really had a lot to do with the what I just was talking about. I was on the road all the time for the last, the 30 years prior, and I mean, I couldn't even join a bowling league, is what I usually say, because I didn't know where I would be on any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. And as a result, I didn't really ever feel super connected to the cities that I lived in. And I lived in LA, San Francisco, Atlanta, Dallas, New York, Seattle. And when we decided to open a business here, I saw it as my opportunity, no longer being on the road, but being able to be deeply connected to community, to start giving back. And that's sort of, to your first, set of questions about why we were on live. That's really been the outcropping of being able to just be really deeply connected to community, looking for where there's need and opportunity, and spending some time focusing time and attention, not just on myself or my career, but focusing time and attention on the people that live here and where there is need. So, yeah, I'm on the board here at the school district, as well as on the senior center board in Cathedral City for their senior center. Jim's on the board at the United Nations, and we've spent time on other boards, and we try to give back of our time, we try to give back of our pocketbook, and we try to give back in terms of sort of where we see we have the opportunity to provide some amount of leadership or guidance or just backbone, or doing the volunteer work. And we do that on food banks and wherever else we can do it.
That's so great. That's one of the great things about living here in the Coachella Valley. There are quite a few philanthropists here in our valley who they just want to help people, and those for people who don't live here, they really have no idea what a wide range of socioeconomic backgrounds we have here in the Coachella Valley, and even in Palm Springs. People who hear about Palm Springs think about glitz and glamour and million and 5 million and $10 million homes, and they don't realize that we have a huge population of people in poverty. And everything in between. And our school district is certainly, a snapshot of the Coachella Valley and our school district that people are very surprised to hear that we have nearly 90% of our students who are from families in poverty.
Absolutely. And I think that most people are surprised when you tell them that, during the pandemic, the school district has provided over 3 million meals for our students and their families. There is a ton of need. There is a
And
lot of, and there's also a lot of opportunity for people here to get involved.
that's
And we talk about it with folks all the time. They're like, well, how can we work in a food bank, or how can we do this or that or whatever? And really, it's just a matter of making a phone call, because there is so much need here. And I guarantee that all these organizations, and we have over 600 nonprofits housed here,
right.
that are ready, willing, and able to use your help. And you don't have to
And
write a big check. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. Just go help.
exactly. And you said 3 million, and I just a little correction. The 3 million plus is only since the beginning of this school year, which is in August. We've been feeding kids every week since for it's right about a year. Today's March 14th, Jim. Tim. I was thinking about your husband. And it was exactly a year ago, 2 days, a year ago, 2 days ago, that we had to shut down, physically shut down. We never shut down, but we had to close our doors to having people on campuses. And one thing that immediately happened was continuing to feed our kids each and every week, each and every day. We started daily and then we moved to weekly, but providing a week's worth of food. So that total is well over 5 million meals in the past year, which is far more than we usually do, during a typical school year, because the need is that much greater. And so, I'm sure that you share my pride in the fact that, our staff members, especially in the nutrition services department, did not miss a beat and just kept doing what we need to do to support our families.
Absolutely. I will tell you that I don't think I could ask for a more dedicated senior leadership staff that have managed through the last year. The people that we work with are some of the finest that I know. And their care for our community, their care for the students that are in our district and their parents and the rest of the community that all those folks affect has just been a true testament to the character of the people involved in the district.
Oh, amen to that. I've said that almost every week on this show and in every opportunity that I have to say it, that if you have to go through something like this, and I hope to God we never have to go through something like this again, I could not imagine going through it with anybody except the people here, because from our superintendent and cabinet and the directors and, everybody, our attitude has been since it started, what can I do? And I don't care if it's something that I don't usually do, we just were like all hands on deck and let's make this work the best that we can. And I do want to spend a little time reflecting on that, but I want to start off with the positive stuff. And here we are. And truth be told, you and I recorded a show it's probably been 6-8 weeks ago that I was holding and I was going to run this same date. And I said to you, we need to redo this because a lot changed. And the good news is that, as we record this pretty close to March 14th, we have positive plans in place to actually start bringing kids back. So I'll let you share that news. Go ahead.
Sure. So we're recording this, shortly after our legislature here in California and our governor have agreed on a plan for supporting school districts in reopening. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fantastic because there's more clear guidance, there's appropriate funding, and there's also a more unified sort of, no pun intended, but a unified sort of approach to how we want to do this. And I think one of the incentives is that as long as we open before the last instructional day of March, as long as that we will get full funding for, and what I know is that they intend to also keep a little money back for every day of instruction we miss after that date, and we will have no missed instructional days in April. So from that perspective, we will be fully funded by this program. And I think that, and that's the end of March. And I think that we go into spring break right around that time. And then our first instructional day will be, I believe, April 12th for in-person hybrid learning, which I think is just fantastic. And I think the thing that most people don't know is that we've been having cohorts into schools, you know, to try out and test through the logistics of what we've been working on over the past few months, so that all those logistics, and I'll just, you know, tick through them really quickly, but the district has gone through the process of increasing the cleaning schedules, bringing in new ventilation systems, bringing in new plastic shielding for both mobile and on desktops, putting in or making available the masks and those kinds of things that everybody needs, putting in hand washing stations and hand sanitation stations all over campuses so that all of our students and teachers and the rest of our faculty all have access to those things. So we've done a lot of the work before now to put all of that in place so that when this time comes, we're ready. And I'm very excited about the fact that we are indeed.
Absolutely. Ready. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY. And my guest is our Board of Education President, Tim Wood. And we're talking about our plans to begin a hybrid reopening program, and it'll be a little bit of a transitional program. We're going to start with pre-K to second grade April 12th and then expand to the rest of elementary April 19th. And then if all goes well and the numbers continue to decrease, which fingers crossed, we're hoping that that's happening as more people are getting vaccinated. And hopefully people are still committed to maintaining social distance, wearing their masks, washing their hands. You got to keep doing it. Then we'll be able to bring back our secondary kids too. So it's really great. And one thing that our district has put out there and stayed true to is that if there are families that, and there are families who are not comfortable coming back this school year, they do not have to do that. They can continue in full-time distance learning. So, and I think a lot of our families do appreciate that because they're not quite ready yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, I think there's always some trepidation when things change, right? And when we had to close the schools, there was a lot of trepidation and there was a lot of, you know, concern. And I think that as we change again, you know, there will be trepidation and concern on, you know, and rightfully so on the parts of parents. But I think that, like I said, having a more unified plan coming from, you know, our legislature and governor's offices, where we have more guidance and we have a clear picture of what it's supposed to look like. I think those are all great things. I think those are all helpful and get us to where we need to be.
Absolutely. And as you reflect back on this past year, what has struck you the most in terms of what you've seen? Let's first talk about the successes. Like, you know, what have you been like in awe of? There's got to be a few things that you just like, wow, I'm surprised they could do that.
Well, I will tell you that probably the biggest thing, and it's one of those things that's near and dear to my heart, which is food security, has been how we not only continued but expanded the food program. And probably one of the most creative things I watched was that when this all started, you know, our school buses used to go out and pick up students and bring them to school and then take them home and drop them off. And when we had to send everybody home, we still had those bus contracts in place. So we began using the buses to deliver food out to them, as opposed to having to, you know, sort of move past the quarantining part and having people have to come to us. And I just thought it was so brilliant, such a brilliant way to use our resources and to use those things that we already had available to us. And I think that we saw that happen a number of times in a number of different ways where we were able to take for example, the technology investment that we had made all those years ago around putting Chromebooks in every student's hands and expanding our Wi-Fi availability programs, you know, with the hotspots for kids so that not only they could use it, but in those households where they may not have already had any kind of Wi-Fi or internet connection, they now did. And it was so many times where we repurposed what we had put in place in the past to meet our current needs. It's back to that sort of original commentary around how dedicated our staff has been to making sure that not only our students, but our students and their families have what they need to get through this. And how we've expanded like the distance learning program and figured out how to get our teachers trained and all the rest. And it hasn't always been super smooth, but it's met the need.
Right.
And it's stepped up and met those needs right where they were, right when we needed them.
So it's no secret and it's not really no surprise that given the virtual environment that we've had to adapt to, that I'd probably say, you know, if not the majority, a very sizable number of our kids are not where they should be if it had been a quote regular year in terms of their academic progress. So what do you say to that and the district's plans for getting them to where they need to be?
Yeah, so, I think in the district or in education, they use the phrase to describe sort of the curve, like over the summertime as a learning slide, right? Where kids move a little bit backward during the times when they're away from school and not, in class. And so we've had, you know, basically a year long slide, right? Probably not as bad as if they had been home over a summertime and had no schooling, but certainly, you know, not leaving them where they need to be and should be. And I would tell you that I think we will be able to make up the educational piece of that. The thing that concerns me, probably most, is that there's a huge piece of our students' socialization skills that happen when they come to school and how they learn to relate to authority figures, how they learn to relate to their peers, and even how they learn to relate to those younger than them. And I think that that's the part that is going to be different for this generation of students. And it's something that I think, you know, our teachers need to be watching, our parents need to be watching, others need to be being, you know, sort of mindful of, and giving them the support they need to help learn those skills that perhaps may not have gotten reinforced and developed during this last year.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is unique to Palm Springs Unified is that we have our own mental health department, and not many school districts can say that. They outsource everything. And not to say that we don't outsource anything, we do, but by and large, we're able to serve the mental health needs of our kids right here with our own staff. And they too have not missed a beat since this whole thing happened. They've all been coming to work every day and working with our kids, also primarily in a virtual platform when in person was not possible. But we definitely urge parents whose kids are struggling more than they think is a, you know, an expected struggle during this time, to please reach out and get that support sooner rather than later. And of course, as we start coming back, all of our staff members, all of our teachers and principals and counselors are going to, like you said, be focused on that social, emotional aspect that they're going to have issues with, no doubt. All of us are, even the adults. And we are more adaptable to these kind of environments than kids are, because they're so used to their routines and socializing with their friends and seeing their teachers in person. And so,
I was going to say that I think that, you know, when we sit back and sort of intellectualize this, I think we understand that this is a real concern, and it's something we really need to be watching for and planning for. At the same time, I will tell you that in the interactions that we've had with some of our students, for example, our student board members who put together presentations every board meeting for their individual schools, and you look at how well they do those things and how well they present and how engaged they still are, and you go, okay, we've got a task in front of us, but there's also lots of real hope, because I think there's a big cadre of students who have stayed engaged, right, and who understand the benefit of that engagement and where it will take them in life and those kinds of things. And it is encouraging, because yes, we have some work to do, but we also have some teammates, those students who are going to help us with it in terms of those socialization when everybody gets back on campus.
That's so true, Tim. And, you know, seeing some of the creativity and ingenuity that both our students and our teachers have shown during this very interesting and challenging time is just, you know, I just marvel at it. As somebody who's not a techie at all, my skills have been enhanced, you know, out of necessity, but nothing compared to what I see, you know, in some of the virtual productions that, you know, we see out of our performing arts kids, and just, you know, even the little kids. I mean, they've had to reinvent themselves, and the skills that they've amassed during this, you know, I hate using that unprecedented word, but it just seems to, that's the word, it fits. I mean, we've never seen anything like this, and they have adapted. And yes, there is work to do, but it's also really inspiring.
It is. And I'll tell you this, one of the other things that I look at and I think to myself, you know, that coming out of this, that maybe we wouldn't have had, but for this pandemic and back, but for what 2020 looked like, is the launch of our anti-racism coalition and a lot of the awareness that we have around how we are sometimes not meeting the needs of our students of color. And so having the opportunity to step back and reflect and look at these areas of opportunity and spend more time trying to figure out how do we do those things, and committing resources and committing board policies and all the rest to making sure that that equity piece happens. I think it gave us more of that thoughtful time this year to spend some thought around that particular issue as well as others, and do things that are more meaningful in that area. And I would say that the commitment that entire group that's on that anti-racism coalition has put in, all of that time and all of the effort, is going to pay dividends for our community, for our district, for our schools, for our students. And I would like to see more of our parents of color Be more involved. Like we were talking about before, everybody has the opportunity to volunteer. Everybody has the opportunity to give of their time and their skills and their knowledge and experience. They don't just have to write a check. And I would encourage those communities, now's your time, you know, to get involved and move those kinds of initiatives forward.
Absolutely. And Tim, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much for being here. Our show airs each Sunday right here on KWXY and KGX. Our podcast is uploaded each week. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.